Let me ask you a question. If God is God, does he still speak? I mean, does he speak here and now to people like you and me? Interesting thought. Does he? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we continue with the next message in this series called Little People Used by a Big God. And please stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet. It's called Taking God at His Word. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you live your life standing firm on the promises of God. But this is the very last week that it'll be available, so don't miss out. It's great to be with you in a new week and look at life again from another angle. We live in a world of superstars and we suffer from what I call celebrity syndrome. Many of the people we admire and aspire to, well, they're people in the media, on TV, in the papers, and the media tends to pump them up until they're larger than life. With so many people like you and me, we end up feeling like, like little people, as though somehow we're less significant. Maybe God's like that. Maybe he only shows up for the superstars. Well, last week I introduced you to some of the superstars in my life, little people in this world's eyes. And this week I'd like to introduce you to some so-called little people in history whom God has used mightily. Let me take you today back almost 3,000 years to the time when a man by the name of Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. This was a time when Israel had split into two, and there were 10 tribes at the north. They were called Israel. And the two tribes in the south, they were called Judah. And this king, Jehoshaphat, kind of a weird name, isn't it? Bernie, why are you doing this? Why are you talking about some guy 3,000 years ago with all these old-fashioned names? What's it got to do with today? Let's go and have a look. It depends on whether you see the Bible as a set of myths like Grimm's fairy tales or Aesop's fables, or a real historical account of what actually happened. And what I see there is a real historical account of what actually happened. That's where I am. So the story of how God did this stuff with real people in real situations is his way of speaking to you and me here and now. So humor me. Jehoshaphat, let's call him Josh, that's easier. So Josh is one of the good guys. He honored God and God blessed him and all the people. They had peace and rest. So Josh is the king of Judah and had 10 years of peace where there were no wars. It was a real time of blessing. Then all of a sudden, the Ethiopian army, 1 million strong, decides to attack Judah. This is serious stuff. This is a war like the ones we see on TV, only on a massive scale. An army of 1 million Ethiopians is about to march on this tiny couple of tribes, Judah. And Judah has a much smaller army of only 580,000, which still seems an awful lot to me, but they were clearly outnumbered almost 2-1. And in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20 and verse 3 in the Old Testament, it says that Josh was afraid. In fact, he was petrified, and so he prayed. Nothing's really changed, has it? People tend to pray when they're afraid, or when they have a loss, or when a disaster happens. Anyway, Josh prayed, and all the people gathered with him, and they fasted and they prayed. This huge crowd, because they were taking this very seriously. They were saying, God, this army of 1 million people is marching on us. What are we going to do? We can be taken as slaves. We could be killed. We could have our places burned down. And in this crowd, in front of the king, as they were praying, was a man, just one face, called Jahaziel. Jazza, we're going to call him. There were thousands around him, and somehow God chose him, and the Spirit of the Lord fell on Jazza like a bright light. Somehow, deep inside him, God empowered him. Now, the nation of Judah had recognized prophets. These were men whose job it was to listen to what God was saying. They were gifted to speak out on behalf of God. That was their gig. But not Jazza. Jazza was just one of the little people. He was a nobody in the crowd. And yet God did something through him. God got Jazza to stand up in front of the king and the whole of the nation of Judah and say something on behalf of God. Now, remember, the king isn't a king like we understand kings to be today. The king has absolute power and authority. The king has the power of life and death over anyone in his kingdom. But Jazza just senses that God's touched him And in the middle of this tense situation, in the middle of a nation and a king who are bowing down before God, and they're petrified of the Ethiopian army marching upon them on Judah, Jazza speaks barely 100 words. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, and he said, "Listen, all you inhabitants of Judah, and you, King Jehoshaphat, God has something to say to you today. The message that God has for you is don't be afraid of this great army that's coming against you. The battle isn't yours. The battle belongs to God. Tomorrow, go down against them at the end of the valley. That's where they will be. This battle isn't for you to fight. Take your positions, stand still, and watch the victory that the Lord your God will win on your behalf." Now, what courage must it have taken for Jazza to stand up and say something like that in front of the king in such a perilous time, in front of a nation that was petrified? What if he got it wrong? They would stand there tomorrow at the battle and be defeated by a million-strong army. And yet when Jazza got up and said this, it rang true in the heart of the king. It rang true in the hearts of the people who were afraid. And it goes on to say that the king and all the people bowed down and worshipped God and said thank you, and they praised God. An incredible encouragement to the nation of Judah. You see, they were afraid. They were focusing on what they could see and not what they couldn't, because what they couldn't see easily was God. They were focusing on what they knew was marching over the hill, an army of a million men. God knew that. So God gets Jazza, a nobody, a little person. He raises up one of the very least so that the people would know that it hasn't come from a man, it's come from God. Because what nobody would stand up in front of the king and say something as radical as this? And it gave them an instant encouragement. He was a small person used by a big God for a huge impact. There have been a few occasions in my walk with God where somebody like that has come along and given me a word of encouragement, and I've known instantly it was from God. I remember on my last day at Bible college, I was just raring to go. You know, I want to do God's stuff. And a man said to me, a man by the name of Mark, came and spoke to me. He said, "Bernie, I just feel that God wants me to tell you, God's not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry at all." And that was just what I needed. It gave me such peace. It gave me the peace to wait until God was ready to use me in the way he wanted to use me. We think God would never use us to do anything significant, but he does. Look at Jazza. One face in a crowd of nobodies. One face in the middle of a country that was in despair. And then God, for some reason, picks Jazza and pours his spirit out on this man, and the man stands up and speaks boldly and prophetically exactly the words of encouragement that God wanted him to speak. And the next day, if you read on in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, exactly what he said came to pass. God fights the battle for his people, and they defeat this massive army without raising a finger. God does amazing things. God uses people we would never expect. What about you? Do you believe that God still speaks today? Do you believe that a small person like you or me could be used by a big God? Go on, do you believe? Do you have the faith? Do you want to live your life serving a massive and wonderful and exciting and tender and loving God? God does use little people like you and me to do amazing things. Now, before we part ways, there's something important that I'd like to share with you. Following Jesus means going against the flow in a society that's increasingly headed in the opposite direction. That's not easy. It's not easy to believe in the promises of God when the world's telling you that they're not true. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Taking God at His Word, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live your life standing firm in the promises of God. In fact, at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to actually help you think through and apply the Word of God right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.